Good morning, brethren. Thank the Lord for that special in song. That's beautiful, beautiful. One of the apostles said, "Where else can we go? Who else can we call on?" Amen. Amen. I guess you can call on others, but it's not good to do that. The Lord, the one to call on. Thank the Lord. They'll fail you. He'll never fail us. Never fail us. Ever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He never will forsake. Boy, that's a comfort. That is such a comfort. Such a comfort. God is so good. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be here this morning again with you and to be able to have the opportunity to try to preach the Word of God. Brother Grady Crawford is a member at Comfort Chapel where I am a member, and sometimes he's a lay speaker, and sometimes he'll go out and speak at a nursing home or somewhere, and when he gets back, he's a dear friend of mine. He's sort of a father figure to me, and I'll say, "Brother Grady, how was it?" And he always says, "Well, I enjoyed it. I hope they did." And so that's the way I feel about this. God is blessing me in studying and in trying to preach. I'm getting a great joy out of it myself. And I hope you are. I hope you're being blessed. And bottom line, I hope God's being glorified. That's the purpose, of course, is to glorify God and edify the people. That's the purpose. And so God be glorified today in what we do here. I've sort of transitioned from being scared to death to almost enjoying this, you know. And I don't. When you're scared to death, it's easy to be humble. But when it's going good, it's easy to slip into, "Well, I can do this" mode. But brethren, I'm fighting that, and please pray that God, I know I can't do it. But this flesh in me, you know, is beginning to get a little relaxed, and I don't want that. I don't want that because I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail God and embarrass myself and leave you wishing, "Well, that was not so good." So, you know, pray for me, brethren. Pray for me. I desperately need God's help, as much now as at the first sermon and all of them. So God help me and help me to preach His Word. Brother Mike was giving us call to worship, and he recited some of the words of that hymn, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name." I want to try to preach to you this morning about a kingdom, a king that passed away. Because, brethren, his kingdom was cut short. His kingship was cut short. You know the story. You know about it. It's in 1 Samuel. Would you turn there? 1 Samuel. God blessed me to preach His Word, and I pray God's led me to this text right here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 14. It's another question recorded in the Word of God. Another question that I want to read to you this morning. And you, if you found it already and you read it, you know that question. You've read it before. And it's a question that Samuel, the prophet and the judge, asked a king. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 14. And here's the question. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Oh, brethren, what a question that was to the man, God's anointed king. He had messed up badly, disobeyed God. And now God comes calling on him in the person of Samuel. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness." This Scripture to me has more, less doctrine in it, and more correction, instruction in righteousness, reproof. Saul, God's anointed man, has disobeyed him, and God comes calling in the person of Samuel. What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, brethren. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this place of worship. Thank you for this sanctuary. Thank you for preserving it to our use and to your glory. Get honor and glory, Lord, today from what we do here. You already have. And I praise you for the singing of the hymns and the special in song. And thank you for that. May I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Father, give me liberty to preach your word. You know that I need you, and I know that I need you, and I beg that you would help me. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. May he come and direct me and direct us in worship, that you would be the three in one God would be glorified and honored in this hour, and I and all of us here would be instructed in your word. Prick our hearts, guide us, help us. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we pray. Amen. What meaneth this? What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? A question, yet another question, brethren, from the Word of God. And this one is asked by the judge, Samuel, prophet Samuel. You know, he was the one whose mom was Hannah, and she was barren and wanted a baby desperately and was in the temple praying. And Eli thought she was intoxicated, and he got on to her, and she said, oh no, I'm praying. And he said, well, God bless you, or something to the words of that effect. God give you what you want. And the next year, when she came back to Jerusalem, she had a baby, and Samuel was that little boy. And she lent him to the Lord. She promised him to the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful story? Boy, it's hard to give up our children, but I'll tell you what, early on, you need to give them up to God for sure. It's hard to send them off to school in the first grade and to college and on their first date and whatever, but brethren, give them up to God. In other words, put them in His hands and just say, God, use him, use her, use them. And so he's the one that, when he was a little boy, he was living in the temple, and God called him at night, and he thought it was Eli calling. He got up and said, you call me. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And that happened, I think, three times. And finally, Eli realized this. God calling this little boy, talking to him. I don't know how old he was at the time. Something makes me think 14. I don't know if that's right, but he was a lad. And Eli said, next time you hear it, or if it happens again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's a wonderful, that's a lesson, that's a sermon right there, isn't it, Brother Randy? And by the way, other ministers are here, and God bless you, and thank you, and thank you for praying for me, and thank you for coming. I won't call names because I may leave somebody out, but I'm glad you're here, brethren. Glad you're here. And so God did call to Samuel, and Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And God began to talk to him. And brethren, that's one way that will facilitate God talking to us if we're ready to listen. If we're ready to listen, why should He commune with us if we won't listen to Him and do what He says? And so God told him what He was going to do, that judgment was coming. And the next day, Eli asked him about it. And I bet you Samuel dreaded telling him, but he told him everything that God told him. And I think that's when Eli said, it's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth good to Him. I think that's right. And that's, brethren, ought to be our attitude too. It's the Lord. He's sovereign. Let Him do what seems good to Him. He has blessings for us, but He has judgment sometimes. And when we deserve it, just say, Lord, you're sovereign. Do what seems good to you. So, he's now, Samuel at this point, I believe, is an elderly man. He's been judging Israel a long time, and he's an elderly man. And God is using him throughout his life. And the children of Israel, they want, instead of a judge, they want a king. They say, in background here, they say around chapter 8, make us a king to judge us like the nations. We want to be like the others around us. There's a sermon in that too, isn't it, brethren? Oh, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We don't need to be like this untoward generation, brethren. We're different. We're different. We're peculiar. We're special in God's sight. But they wanted a king. And it's easy to look back on them and see it, isn't it? But it's a little more difficult to see it in our own lives. God said to Samuel, go ahead. Go ahead and anoint him a king, Samuel, because they've not rejected you as judge. They've rejected me. And in fact, that's what had happened. In essence, they rejected God when they reject his man or his messenger. Samuel warned the people in chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. He said, this is what your king's going to do now. If you want a king, this is what he's going to do. Nevertheless, the people refused and insisted, we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations. That's chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, I believe. So, chapter 9 tells us about this future king. Chapter 9. Let me turn there, if you'll turn there. Describes Saul, verse 1. It says, now there was a man of Benjamin. That's the tribe of Benjamin. His name was Kish. The last of the verse says he was a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man. Oh, when you know the whole story, brethren, and I read that, a choice, I see it. When I know what's going to happen down the road and I read a choice young man, it just grieves me to read that. What a bright future he had. A goodly man. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. That's how he's described. And so he was the one that would be anointed. God says to Samuel, I'll show him to you. And God does show him. He brings them together in the same place at the same time. And God shows Samuel that Saul is the one that he's to anoint. In chapter 10, verse 1, Samuel anoints him. Samuel took a vial of oil, chapter 10, verse 1, poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? There was war going on, conflict between Israel and the Philistines, the people around them. There was battle and they wanted a king to lead them in battle. And so he's now anointed. And it says in chapter 10, verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. Another heart. I looked at that in some outside reading because I wondered if it meant he regenerated him then or something else. And the commentary that I read said, no, that wasn't regeneration, which I assume means he was already a child of God. It meant that God gave him a heart for the people, a heart of wisdom, a heart to understand, and a heart to judge and lead the people. That's what that Bible commentator said, and I think that's probably right. He's probably smarter than me on the, but that I think is good point. And so Saul is now king, and a lot happens in those next chapters, but let's go now to chapter 15. Saul has led him out in battle, and he's won battles, and he's winning respect, and he's leading the people. And so Samuel, God's man, comes to Saul in chapter 15, King Saul. And Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king. And that's happened, of course, king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Samuel says, I've got a message for you from God. So listen up. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 2. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. One outside source said that this is 400 years after Israel came out of Egypt. And you can read in it, I don't know if it's in Exodus, but or Deuteronomy is in Exodus, I think. It says Amalek attacked Israel when they were marching, coming out toward the, in the wilderness. And he attacked the ones last traveling. They were weaker, maybe sickly, maybe older. And he struck at their heel there. He just opportunistically hit the weaker ones there. And God says, I remember that. Of course, God knows and remembers everything, but he's calling it, he's saying why he's about to do this. He says, now go, verse 3, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now that's pretty drastic, isn't it, by our standards today? But brethren, God is sovereign, and Amalek had attacked God's people, and God is about to bring judgment to pass. And Saul gathered, verse 4, the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul, he's getting ready to fight. He's ready. He's following God's instructions. And Saul said unto the Kenites, by the way, I read studying this that they were the descendants of Jethro, who was the father of Moses. That's what one source said. I guess maybe that's why they were spared. Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among Amalek, the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. They got out. Something drastic's about to happen. They left. Saul warned them, and they left. They heeded the warning. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. He fought them, he chased them, he killed them, he followed God's instructions, except, verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. That was not God's instruction, was it? Saul was a king, Agag was a king. I can't help but wonder if he didn't show him some deference for that reason. I don't know. It's the only reason I can think of. But he spared him and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. That's sad to read that, brethren. It's sad. Sometimes God tells me to do something, and I tend to think sometimes I have a better idea. There's a better way. I was saying last night about Miss Jonesy. Better way. Her way was better than what. But my way, if it's against God's way, it's not a better way. And it says in verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be a king, for he is turned back from following me. He hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel stayed up all night crying, it appears. He's grieved for this man he's anointed. Apparently loves the man, and thinks a lot of him. But God, brethren, tells Samuel what has happened. Samuel didn't know it because his mind is finite. But God sees everything, brethren, and God knew it. And so God tells Samuel. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, verse 13. Watch this. I know you've read it before, but there's so much in here. And God teaches us by His Spirit. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. That's a nice greeting, isn't it? For a man who's disobeyed God, talking to the preacher, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. There's a first lie he told. Easy to see that in the life of Saul, isn't it? Easy to see it here on the print on the page. Not so easy for me to see it in my life, though. I want to avoid that, and I don't want to talk about that. I want to be in good with the preacher and shake his hand. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. And I want him to think I'm doing good. I don't want him to know what I'm really doing sometimes. And again, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about myself. I mean, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And here's the question, brethren. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? What's this I hear? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. I read that and I think I grew up on the farm. We never did have sheep. We had some goats and they'd bleat, and we had cows and they would low. And I can't help but just think that when Saul saw Samuel coming, boy, he wished he could make those sheep stop bleating, whatever it was, and those oxen stop lowing. Don't you know if he had it in his power, he'd have had them be quiet. But they're telling on him is what they're doing. They're telling on him. How frustrating it is. How frustrating it is when we try to cover our sin. We won't prosper and the sin will find us out. My daddy quoted me that verse when I was a teenager at home. It's from Numbers somewhere. It says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." He probably didn't know exactly what I was doing, but he knew I was a boy and a teenager, and he knew I needed to hear the Word of God. What does this mean that I hear then? Why these sheep that are bleating and the oxen that are lowing? And brethren, watch this. Saul, brethren, when he disobeyed God, he started down a slippery slope. And that was the first step down it, as far as I know. And it continues on, a downward spiral. And you know, it'll end with the Philistines killing him. I think he might have gotten his armor bearer to take his life, or he fell on his... But anyway, he died tragically at the hand of the Philistines. And this is, I think, where it starts here. And his kings and kingdoms will all pass away. At least the earthly kings and kingdoms will, and he's going to pass away. And this is a sad story of it here. Saul said, look at this. They have brought them from the Amalekites. They. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. They. That's a common thing, isn't it? To point the finger at somebody else. Spread the blame. That's just acting like human nature causes us to act. And then Samuel says, Saul says, well, they did it, but they did it. We're going to sacrifice unto the Lord God. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, this is so good, brethren. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord's and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Saul was a reluctant king early on. In fact, one time when they went to have the investiture, they had to go find him. He was hiding among the stuff, the Bible says. He said, when he was told he was going to be king, he said, I'm from the smallest tribe in Israel in a small, poor family. I believe it said poor, but small family. In other words, I'm not king material. But God chose him to be king and blessed him until this point. Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, and you felt like you didn't qualify to be king, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners. God gave you instructions for serving him, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? Fly upon the spoil. Sort of like Achan, you know, at the battle of Jericho. He saw a goodly Babylonish garment and a wedge of silver, I think, and some other things that appealed to the natural man, and he took them and hid them in his tent. Why did you fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. There he goes again. The people. And Samuel said, and you know this verse, don't you, brethren? Samuel said, verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. There's a lot in that verse, isn't there, brethren? A lot in that verse. I've got a quote for you here. Here's the question. Here's the statement he makes. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? That's in other words, bringing an offering and a sacrifice because you've sinned. Does he have as much delight in that as obeying him to begin with and doing what he says? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's a question, isn't it? Another question. Hath the Lord as great delight? And the answer is no. This is a quote. No, certainly. The one being merely ceremonial, the other moral. The sacrifice is ceremonial. Obeying is the moral law. The one supposes sin committed. That's the sacrifice. The one supposes sin has been committed for which sacrifice is offered. The other moral and is a compliance with the will of God and is neither sinful nor supposes anything sinful and therefore must be the more acceptable. Better to obey, isn't it? We know the answer to that, but there it's said another way. For rebellion against God is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou... Here's the sentence, brethren. There's the judgment. Now here's the sentence. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. There's the judgment. Isn't that sad? God's anointed man, head and shoulders above everybody else, you know, didn't feel qualified. But God qualified him, anointed him. There he is. Had many victories in the preceding chapters, but now, brethren, here's the judgment and the sentence. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Man, that's sad. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. That earthly kingdom, that kingship of Saul is gone. Now, he continued to be in that position for a while. You can read it. But the blessings of God were gone. They're gone. That's a sad thing, brethren, when God removes His blessings from us, from His people. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Well, is this a true confession or not? For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Yes, that's true. And thy words. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You know, brethren, I don't know if Saul's still telling lies here or if he's confessing. I don't know. But here's the bottom line, brethren. It's better to fear God than man. Did you know that? You just fear God and you obey Him. And if what man's threatening you with or telling you to do lies in the face of God and what He tells you to do, then you fear God more and you obey Him. Peter and John, I believe it was Peter and John in Acts, that they were told, don't you speak in that name of Jesus. Don't you do it. And they said something like, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's words to live by right there, brethren. Don't worry about it. And if something bad happens because you're obeying God and not man, then God will be with you in it. Chances are, nothing bad will happen. It's a bluff a lot of times. Brother Randy, I think, and Brother Edwin, I think it was us talking. Yes, it was. We were touring the lodge at Bethany, and we were talking about the chapel they have there and maybe some of the rules that the government may have and versus the desire of Bethany. They're not in a crisis at all, but we were talking about just in general how the world tries to hush and silence the preaching of the Word and the service of God. And one of the things I said to them was, a lot of times, it's just a bluff anyway. It's just a bluff. And even if it's not, brethren, you obey God rather than man. I have sinned, he says, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and the word and His word, thy words, Samuel's words, instructions of Samuel coming from God, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice, which I don't think that is correct, because Saul was the king and the people were following him. And I don't think they would have said, hey, we're not going to kill these animals. We're going to do something else with them. We want them, or we want the spoil, or we're going to make sacrifices to God. I don't think they would have done that. I think they would. I think Saul was the leader in that. My opinion. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Sometimes, brethren, you know, Samuel there, he's got a tough job. He loved this man. He loved him. He stayed up all night crying when God told him what he'd done. And the preacher sure has a tough job sometimes, trying to do what's right, serving God and loving the people, but giving it to them straight. You got to do it. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned to go away, he, that's Saul, laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle. That's Samuel's mantle. He had a robe on, and it rent. It ripped. Saul held on to it so tight, and Samuel kept walking to the point that it ripped his mantle. And Samuel, when that happened, Samuel turned and said, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. That would be David. That would be David, the young shepherd boy David. God would send Samuel to anoint David. That's when Jesse brought all of his sons, starting with the oldest, brought them in. And Samuel kept saying, God kept saying, no, that's not him, that's not him. And they ran out of sons. And then Samuel said, don't you have him anymore? And behold, he keepeth the sheep. That was David, brethren. He came in and God said, that's him. That's him right there. You anoint him. Isn't this a sad story? A man who had all kinds of physical qualities about him and God enabled him to do great things. And then God said, all right, I've got some instructions for you. Do this. And he disobeyed. And brethren, now here's the lesson in it to me. There's a verse in the New Testament, in the last book of the Bible, the first chapter, Revelation 1, I think it's around verse 6, that I want to read to you. It's the greeting, it's the introduction. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. And then it goes on down and it says, Jesus Christ, verse 5, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings. It goes on, but I want to emphasize that. It's made us kings. I want you to see yourself, and I want to see myself in this now present day in which we live. God doesn't change. We live in the gospel dispensation, and we read this history, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's here for us to profit from. How can I profit from this? How can you? Well, it says He's made us kings. He's made us kings and priests. We offer our spiritual sacrifices to God, but He's also made us kings. And in that, brethren, some of what I think I see is this. You know, there's a lot of writing in the New Testament, the Gospels and the other letters, about the kingdom in which we live, the kingdom of heaven. And it's a spiritual kingdom. And by definition, it is said the kingdom of heaven is spiritual. It is not meat and drink. It's not a natural kingdom. That's what the Jews were looking for, of course. That's what the Old Testament Jews wanted. Give us a king. We want a kingdom. And even in Jesus' day, the Jews were saying, we're looking for that king to come riding in on that white horse and conquer and run the Romans out. That's what we want. They wanted an earthly kingdom. But Jesus came, brethren. He said himself, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. And Paul defines it, I think it's the Apostle Paul. He says, the kingdom of heaven is not a natural kingdom. It's not meat and drink. but it's righteousness. It's doing the right thing. And it's peace. That living water that comes from God when you obey Him. And it's joy in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom, brethren, that you're a part of. And God, it's His pleasure to give us that kingdom. But you can't, you and I can't rule and reign and enjoy and serve in that kingdom if we don't do what God says. It's just as simple as that. When Saul disobeyed, Samuel said, "The kingdom is removed from you right now." Now, he stayed on the throne, but God deserted him. He didn't desert him. He's in heaven with God now. But in this life, God said, "It's over. It's over for you, Saul. You can't enjoy the kingdom anymore. It's gone from you." And he desperately tried to hold on to it. I love to read the subsequent chapters. He threw a javelin at David a couple of times. David was there playing the harp for him. And he said, "I'll pin him to the wall." This king that was trying his best to hold on, he tried to kill David. And he had a feast one time, and Saul said, "Where is he? David's supposed to be here." David said to Jonathan, Saul's son, he said, "There's but a step between me and death." Man, that's scary, isn't it? I'm one step ahead of the grim reaper here. Saul's after me. And everything, no matter what Saul did, no matter how desperately he tried to hold on to that kingdom, it's gone. It's gone. And his life ended in tragedy. God simply removed him. In our day, brethren, in our day, I want to enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. I want to be in the kingdom of God. And it says He's made us kings. He's made me a king. And I get to reign, and you do too. But the condition is, brethren, you got to do what God says. You got to be obedient. You got to be a child of God to start with, but you got to be an obedient child of God. And there are times, brethren, when God gives me instructions, He says, "Do this," through the Holy Spirit or His Word. Or He says, "Don't do this," through the Holy Spirit or through His Word. And I do like Saul. And when He comes calling, comes to judge me, I say, "Oh, I've got a reason for that," like Saul did. You know, I thought of this. Saul said the people. The first thing he did was blame somebody else. You know, even Adam, the first morning we were here, and I preached about Adam, and God said, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" And God continued to talk with him, and Adam said, "The woman that you gave me." Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad how we do? We got that Adam's nature in us. And so, brethren, don't be like Saul, King Saul. God loved him, and Samuel loved him. And he was a child of God, and he was a chosen vessel. But, brethren, he disobeyed, and he lost his kingdom. And Samuel said to Saul, "When you were little in your own sight, you didn't feel qualified, you weren't the man for the job, you had problems, and you knew what your problems were, you had a past, you knew what it was, brethren. You know what? When I was little in my own sight, and I knew my past and my present, God chose me and saved me. And I didn't feel qualified because I wasn't. But He made me His own child. And He saved me from my sins. And He's made me a king." And I do. It is a sad thing to lose that kingdom. The joy, righteousness, peace, and joy that the Holy Ghost brings to us. It's a sad thing. And I have lost it on occasion. But thank God He's merciful. And when I repent and beg His forgiveness and confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me. And I'm thankful for that. So, brethren, you hang on to that kingdom. You will be obedient to what God says. And you don't obey partially. You obey fully. And you obey God rather than man. And do what God says. And there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. The kingdom of heaven on earth. Nothing else will satisfy. He'll shower you with living water every day and night and walk with you wherever you go. Oh, Lord God, let us take a lesson from the life of Saul, your man who messed up and disobeyed you. Let us take a lesson. Let us realize the happiness and the joy and peace that comes through being obedient children of God and enjoying reigning in that kingdom of heaven and being a part of it. Help us to see it and press into it and hold on to it. We beg in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for making us kings. We thank you for giving us your instructions written in a book and the leadership of your Holy Spirit and your messengers, your pastors to come and tell us and help us and direct us and correct us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and enjoy the fruits of it, because that kingdom will never end. Bless us to enjoy it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brother Randy.